Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from Brampton, Canada, Daisy Wright. Daisy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ashutosh.
Thank you. Daisy is an executive career coach. She's been recognized as an expert in the career space. She's an author, and all of you know that I'm very partial to authors. She's an author of two books. One is No Canadian Experience, a career success guide for new immigrants. And she tells stories to get hired. She's collaborated with 20 other women to write the anthology, 21 Resilient Women, Stories of Courage, Growth, and Transformation. And Daisy has been recognized, rewarded, and felicitated several times. So Daisy, before we talk coaching, tell me a little bit about your own journey.
Well, my journey started in Jamaica, because that's where I grew up. And years later, I moved to Canada, but on the way, we stopped in New York.
Okay.
And I got a job with the UN. It was UNIFEM at the time. It's now UN Women.
Yeah.
I worked with them for a year and a half before finally putting down roots here in Canada, because our daughter was ready for kindergarten. So we decided we would come up. But while I was in New York, I actually had a son. So so we moved up here. But in terms of my coaching career and where that started, I was working with one of the major banks here. And after a number of years, I realized that I wasn't growing as fast as I had wanted to or what I was accustomed to.
Right.
And so I did a little inside reflection. And decided that rather than sitting there and being sorry for myself, I know I had all these other skills that I could be using. And so I engaged the services of a career coach and to say, help me plot a path.
Right.
And while we were going through this, I remember she asked me if I had ever taught, and immediately I said no, because it was so long ago that I had forgotten. But then I remembered, yes, I had taught, and then writing is my background because I was a public relations officer in Jamaica. And so I combined both, and I first started my business as a resume writing business. But at the same time, I applied to teach at the I applied to all the colleges in the Greater Toronto Area to get a teaching spot. And one college actually responded with a phone call to say, we would love to have you, but nothing is happening right now. We don't have a vacancy right now. And I said to myself, well, at least I got a response from one.
Correct.
6 months later, I followed up with the college. And it's important for your listeners to understand that even though you may hear a no at the beginning, no just means the yes is coming at some point. So I followed up with the college, and it was a different person I spoke with. And she said, you know what, come in for an interview. And I went in for the interview. And 2 weeks later, I was teaching in the Faculty of Business at Sheridan College, which is just at the time, it was 10 minutes away from my home. So that's half of where it started. But coaching morphed into, from my resume writing business, the coaching part evolved into that. And I actually did some certifications. I got a postgraduate diploma in career development. And that's where I am today, with the experience and the certifications and qualifications and all of that. That has brought me right here.
So what do you enjoy the most as a coach?
The most that I enjoy is to have somebody, is to be having a conversation with a client and bringing clarity. They have come to me with their minds all warped. They don't know what to do, where to go. And to hear somebody say, I came in at a 180 degrees and I'm leaving with a 360 degrees. That's
Fantastic.
clarity right there. And that's the part of coaching that I really enjoy.
How wonderful. So when you coach so many people, what would you say are some of the common challenges that people face in their careers when they come to you, and how do you help them?
So one of the most common, I have two challenges that they come to me with. The first one is to say, I am stuck. I have been there. And so it's easy for me to say, I know what's happening. I know where you're coming from. And so we have a conversation in terms of, okay, you know what it is that you don't like. So we'll eliminate those. And let's talk about some of the things that you would love to do.
Correct.
Who is doing the work that you would love to do? And so we have that conversation around exploring, you know, possible opportunities. But we also go through an assessment process. And the assessment process can be informal, which would be like the conversations. But of course, from a formal perspective, it's giving them instruments that they can worksheets and formal assessment tools that they can use to help them to clarify their pathway and move on. And the second challenge that I find with many of my clients is around interviewing. They are great people, but they haven't learned how to tell their story, how to tell their success stories, to convince the potential employer that, yes, I am the person for this role. And so we go through that process where I say to them, let's focus on the actions you took in a particular situation, and then look at the impact or the results. What impact did you make? What were the results? And when you're able to get them to do that, then the stories start forming. You know, I worked with a client several years ago who was a director at the airport. And when I was, you know, walking him through this, he said, Daisy, I haven't done anything. I said, no, you have spent so many years and you haven't done anything. And I said, let's talk about it. I said, tell me something that you did, that you felt proud about. And he gave me the story of working with developing a safety manual for his company. And at the end, it was so good that the Toronto Airport adopted that as the blueprint for safety and security there now. Now, this was many years ago, so things may have changed. But my point is, he thought he hadn't done anything because he just kept saying, it's all a part of my work. It's all a part of my job. And it's important for people to know that organizations are not just paying them to sit in their seats. They are making a contribution, and they have to do that reflection to say, yes, what is it that I do well? And you're in branding, so you know what it is that I do well, what it is that people know me for. What is it if I'm missing from the crowd? What would they miss? About me being there. So those are pretty much the two challenges.
Fascinating. And when you say you also do work with people who are feeling stuck, help me understand a situation without any names, of course, of how someone was stuck in any situation at work and how you help them out.
Okay, so I'll give you this quick story of a lawyer that I worked with. Brilliant, and is a go-getter, you know, very ambitious. But he worked in the courts. And sometimes that get a little, you know, it's even though each case might be different, but the process for him is just not that exciting. And so he came to me and he told me his story. And he said, listen, I want to be involved in the courts, but I also want to explore other areas of law. And at the time, he was reaching out to other lawyer firms. And we, again, as I said before, we always start with the assessment in terms of, okay, what is it that you don't want to be doing anymore? What is it that you would love to be doing more of? Who is doing that type of work that you would love to do? And so he had gone to this company to they actually reached out to him. And he said, Daisy, before I go to that company for the conversation, I want to run some things by you. So we chatted about it. I said, what is the pull? What's pulling you towards this organization? And, you know, we talked about it. He went. He went there just for a conversation. He ended up with an interview, a proper interview. The good thing is that we had gone through all his achievements and all of that. So it wasn't difficult for him to recall his stories. And he had that interview. He phoned me and he said, Daisy, they want to see me again. And so we prepared for that as well. And he went back. And he was offered the position.
Wow.
So he moved from, and then he didn't give up his court. He still works in the court up to now. And this is probably 5 years ago. He still works in the court. He still works with this particular legal firm. And you know what? He is doing a master's in, I forgot the degree. But that again, he's building up his collateral to make himself responsive to any new opportunities that are going to arise.
Fabulous. Thank
you. He moved from that being stuck in the courts to being able to explore other opportunities. And you know what? He got what he was looking for. And now he's ready to move on.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Thank you for sharing such an amazing story.
You're welcome. And
my next question to you, Daisy, is that given your own background, you know, from Jamaica to New York to Canada, how has your background supported your coaching philosophy, your style, and your values?
I love that. I love to talk about that. First of all, as you mentioned, and as I mentioned before, I grew up in Jamaica.
Correct.
In Jamaica, there is nothing that tells... I grew up in an environment where the sky was the limit. So there was nothing, there were no limitations on who you could be or where you could be.
All right.
Because you were seeing people like yourselves in high places. And so that's one. And two, the home in which the home and the community in which I grew up was all about building people up. So I grew up with this confidence that tells me nothing is impossible. And well, you know, I came to North America and it was different in terms of, well, you know, you might not be able to get this role because of whatever, these invisible concrete, I call them concrete barriers or concrete ceiling.
Right.
But it's still, my values there were still present. You can be who you want to be. And so I take that into, and that helped me really to carve out my entrepreneurial journey. Because even though people were telling me, when I told someone I wanted to teach, she said to me, who told you could teach? And I said, watch me. When I told somebody else that I wanted to write a book, she said, who told you can write a book? I said, watch me. So I never put limits on myself, even though people may put a limit on me. I bring that perspective to my coaching. So when I'm coaching someone, I say to them, I'm being very practical. I'm not saying I don't have my days. I am not Miss Positivity 24 hours a day. I allow myself to have my pity party for 15 minutes, but then I go right back to what's important. And what's important is solving the issue right now and planning on how I'm going to move forward from where I am. So I bring that same philosophy into my coaching. So it's kind of what you see is what you get.
Wonderful. How wonderful. My next question to you, Daisy, is that, you know, all of us are shaped by different people. We are influenced by different people. My question to you is, how have you been shaped by people in your life, and how are they influencing you as a coach today?
Well, one of the greatest influences I've had or I had was my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she, again, was the person who would say, go for it. She believed in me. She never said, I know. The only time she ever said no, actually, and it was a family decision, my father and my mom and my other relatives, was when, because my goal in life was to be a radio announcer. It was never to be, I wanted to work on radio and TV. And I did do the audition for radio. And I passed the first part of it. And when I went back home in the country, and I was so excited, telling them, oh, you know, I'm going to work in radio. They said, they put a break on it. They said, that's too glamorous a role for somebody from the country. You better go to college.
Okay.
So I ended up going to college. Mm-hmm. But so the greatest influence has really been my mom, because she believed in me. She supported me every step of the way. And one of the things I remember, and I've taught my children that as well, she always said to me, never envy anyone. Because I had left, I had gone home from elementary school and tell her that I saw my friend with a particular bag that she was taking her books to school in, and I wanted one. And the question she asked me, do you have a bag? And I said, yes, I have one, but I wanted the one that Bev has. She said, satisfy with what you have and never be envious of anybody. That's so it. Those are some of the values that I was taught. And again, I bring that into my coaching. I say to my clients, you are unique. You are the only you. Capitalize on that. Stay in your lane and don't worry about what's happening on both sides. Just focus. That's focus fair. On who you are and where you want to go.
Wonderful. So Daisy, now let's talk a little bit about your books. You know, your first book, you said, was No Canadian Experience, and which is a career success guide for new immigrants. Tell me a little bit about this book, and what was your hypothesis when you decided to write it?
Okay, so first of all, it took me 10 years to write.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because, and I want your listeners to understand this. Ideas have a short shelf life. So when you have an idea, you had better run with it. I had the idea to write the book because of the experiences that new immigrants were having when they moved to Canada, including my husband. It was difficult for them to find a job immediately that really aligned with where they were coming from. And then, so I had the idea, but the idea just was in my head, you know? I just kept saying one of these days, one of these days. But one of these days did not come until I was speaking with a librarian, telling her of my idea. And she said, I think somebody has written a book like that. I said, are you kidding? But when we looked at the book, it wasn't anything near that.
Okay.
And so I approached it from the perspective of the job search and the challenges that new immigrants were facing when they moved to Canada. And because I was already in the coaching space, I was able to use some of those stories and some of those experiences to put into that book. And that book became a Canadian bestseller, and I didn't even market it. Because one, it was the title. No Canadian experience. I used the A part of it because it's Canadian. You're talking to a Canadian and you'll always hear A. So I just combined it, no Canadian experience, A.
Yeah.
And it sold, the title sold it, sold the book.
Fascinating. And your second book, was an anthology of stories. Tell me a little bit about that book.
Right. So my second book actually was Tell Stories, Get Hired. And this one was all about, again, it was a job search, but it wasn't for new immigrants. It was just for anybody for people who were struggling to tell their stories when they go to interviews and so on. So that was the second book. And the third one is the anthology, which I collaborated with the 20 other women in 2020. And the story behind that was, in 2020, we had the pandemic came.
Yeah.
And every year in January, I host an event on the second Saturday of January, which is termed International Vision Board Day. So I host this event with women just to plan our strategy for the year. What's your goal for this year? You know, what do you want? What would you like to see at the end of the year? And so on. So I threw the idea out at that event because the pandemic hadn't started yet. And I said, why not write a book? You know, it's the 2019 was the end of a decade, 2020, the beginning. Let's write something, you know, some story of whatever. And some people were enthusiastic and others were saying, oh, what? You know, can we write a book? I've never written a book before and all of that. So months later, I threw it out again and I said, who is on this train with me? And so I got 20, I actually had 23 women and I wanted 20 because it was 2020. Then one lady who has always attended my event, she said, Daisy, I have to be in that book. So I said, okay, 21 is, you know, the number is coming of age. And then, you know, by the time we finish writing the book, it's going to be 2021 anyway. So we ended up writing, calling it 21 Resilient Women Stories of Courage, Growth, and Transformation.
Amazing.
So that's how that one came about.
Fascinating, fascinating. So I've got time for one more question now. And this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation.
Yes.
Based on your own amazing journey and all the learnings that you've had, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your journey and from our conversation?
Right. So lesson one is to believe in yourself and never give up. The path does not necessarily move in a straight line.
Correct.
There are going to be twists and turns, but as long as you keep your focus on your goal, you will get there. The second lesson I would say is, and it's a speech that I give all the time, quit being small. Quit playing small. And again, it kind of aligns with the first lesson. In that you have to own your ambition, own who you are. Don't allow anybody to write a chapter for you.
Correct.
You are as good as you, and you have to again believe in yourself. So quit believing what other people think you should be. And the third lesson I would say is to develop what I call your personal board of advisors. So it's about 8 to 10 people who you can call on. They have different areas of expertise.
Yeah.
At any point, so they could be your mentor, they could be somebody who could connect you with someone, whoever. And it could be, you know, you're gonna have one friend in there too who will tell you like it is, who would say, you know what, you're going off on this thing, you know, stop, pause, and think about it, and so on. So have that support system. where when it gets really low and when you are confused and not sure where to go, you have that system that you can reach out to. So those would be my three
lessons. How wonderful. And that note, Daisy, and your three amazing lessons, believe in yourself and never give up, quit playing small, such a powerful comment. The third one you said was develop a personal board of advisors. I also picked up two other things when you were talking. One was never put limits on yourself. And the second one, you said what your mom told you, never envy anyone. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your journey as, from Jamaica to New York to now being a well-known, well-respected coach. Thank you also for speaking to me about both your book or all three of your books. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.